Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, listeners, Rajan Trade Islam International. We welcome you once again to the program, the Revitalka program, Radio Islam International. Yes, alhamdulillah, today we have our Squadia and its brother Burhaq Atrana, as well as brother Adil Mia. And let's welcome them first, inshallah, before we take on our questions and callers. Burhaq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakumullahu khairan for the opportunity, Mawlana. And alhamdulillah, today, as Mawlana says, we got a full house here. Alhamdulillah, brother Adil has pitched up from the woodwork. So inshallah, we know we're ready for him, guys. I think he needs to be just given all the work to do. Inshallah, let's see if you've got any questions for brother Adil, inshallah. I think last week, alhamdulillah, quite a few of our callers missed him. They were actually asking where's brother Adil. Alhamdulillah, we managed to drag him to the studio. So guys, he's here. Go for it.
Yes, Adil, we almost do, as well as the listeners. In fact, like Abdul Haq saying, last week we had two callers asking where is brother Adil now. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to my brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, to all our listeners. Jazakallah for all that inspiration, Mawlana. Yeah, it's good to be back. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, I know we are busy doing other work and all that, but alhamdulillah, we're back now. Inshallah, we're ready for maybe the brain a bit rusted, don't know how to answer the questions anymore, the car techniques. But inshallah, we can try and assist wherever we can.
Okay, jazakallah for that. Was it work? Was it holiday, Adil?
Gee, most of a bit of both, you know, now and then you just have to go with the flow, it's, you know, for the best.
Jazakumullah. Yes, listeners, it's your forum program. The brothers are here to assist. Give us a call on the number 011-854-1548. The SMS number is 48855, and alternately 0825-8080-70. And as we're talking, it's raining, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us beneficial rain. We had quite a bit of rain in the last few days. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. All praise be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, Adil, let's continue. Inshallah, we have a few questions that have come through already. The question saying, Adil, I've got a Mazda 1-1 1997, I think the Soho's. It's overheating after I drive it for approximately 20 minutes. I had the water pump replaced and it never gave me any trouble. I've tested the fuses, the thermofan, checked the radiation for leaks and clogged. All is good. Now the brother says, I cannot locate the sender unit and the reader unit for testing.
See, Masabi, we tested the thermofan and it's all working. So then which sender unit is he looking for?
Yeah, I was just wondering. The car's moving quite fine.
You
so
see, the car starts overheating after 20 minutes. I think the main culprit, I think what you should check is the thermostat. Maybe the thermostat getting sticky and not opening at the correct time, that can cause a problem, because after 20 minutes, quite a while, so the car is not overheating. So I think maybe the number one culprit there is the thermostat. If he hasn't got any physical water leaking out the engine, or out the radiator, or one of the pipes, then the thermostat could be the main culprit.
Okay.
Maybe after Abdullah, he's got more on the souls, because he does more of them than me.
See, Mawlana, just to add on to that,
see.
I found sometimes due to a bit of clogging up in the radiators, as far as those vehicles are concerned,
yeah.
You do have that after you've driven a while, simply because you don't have enough circulation in the system. And that obviously affects, like I said, your thermostat, but also the radiator seems to be a culprit on those particular vehicles.
JazakAllah. The question coming through, I've got a Mazda 1992 323. Yes, lovely, strong cars. He says the motor isn't getting petrol to you. Then what could be the cause?
She must have the not getting petrol to the
motor.
To the motor. What is the Mazda also?
Yeah,
it's a Mazda.
But
it's a 1992 model.
It's an old carburetor. Yeah,
yeah, the old carburetor.
Or old carburetor.
Yeah, 1992 is a carburetor.
Yeah, it's an old carburetor. See, most of the main culprit not getting fuel to the engine is the fuel pump. That will supply the fuel to the carburetor and then do its job. So the main thing to check there is the fuel pump. And I think on those cars, the fuel pumps are a common problem. The other thing you should check for is blocked fuel pipes can also cause that. A blocked fuel filter can also cause that. So those are your three main factors. Most of the olden day cars are, I think, with the you know, with the technology today, you pull your hair out. You know, you go to the workshop and you just like mind-boggling how the cars are made and what technology is put into the cars. And you look at these old cars. The other day I saw this Mazda 323. I was driving behind it, and I'm looking at this car, and I'm, you know, the hatchback ones, man.
Yeah.
That you know, what a car, man. He done his job. You know, what a pleasant car to drive. You know, back in the day, you know, that was the car, and people went everywhere with it. And today, you give a person a car like it, he won't even look at it because it's got no throws and froze, you know.
Yeah.
No ABS, and no SRS, and no automatic climate control, and no lane assist and change assist, and, you know. Yeah, but he done his job, Mazab. You know, people went from A to B. And there was no issue. The car came in for a service. You serviced the car, and you only saw the car on the next service. Straightforward.
But today also very, very good sellers. That are excellent sellers.
This is what I'm saying. You think back in the day, you know what a pleasure it was to be a mechanic. Today, you know, you think to yourself, you're servicing the car today, and tomorrow that light will come on, and this light will come on, and the customer gets all mixed up, and he gets excited, and the wife gets excited, and the children get excited, and everybody gets excited while in the car. Papa, why is that light on? But that light's not supposed to be on, you know.
Yeah, the other thing also with these vehicles, the cost factor as far as services and repairs and maintenance and things like that. Concern. I mean, if you look at those cars and you look at the vehicles nowadays, it's ridiculous. The difference is phenomenal. You know, I mean, it's almost unbelievable. But then again, back in the day, the parts were also cheaper, oils were much cheaper, and things were cheaper. So yeah.
JazakAllah. Yes, the brother says his car burns a lot of petrol and gas. What could be the problem? It's a four cylinder.
A lot of things. Just a quick description of it. It actually measures the amount of air coming into the engine. So that air coming into the engine plays a vital importance how the engine should run, because it sends the different messages to all the different components linked to the fuel injection system to actually advise the car how much fuel to supply. So that's very important. So that one should be checked. That's the number one top.
The other thing that I found on that vehicle also was about 2 weeks ago I had one of those. And similar to the CDs, under the inlet manifold, you've got those vacuum pipes right there. And they do tend to leak. And the way they leak, sometimes you don't even pick up the misfire or the way it's running. You just pick up this high consumption. And I would suggest that you also can look at that sometimes.
All right, JazakAllah. Something interesting I came across, I thought I shared with our listeners of Radio Islam International with regards to the number plates in Gauteng, that, you know, brothers, some of the rarest and the most unique number plates in Gauteng will be auctioned in South Africa later this month. And it's called the South Africa, the auction, South Africa's most valuable number plates by Stephen Voss and company. You know, brothers, they feature 8 Gauteng personal registration plates. So, I mean, I think these are the rarest, most unique 8 single-digit Gauteng number plates. And I think the plates also include, one says Mandela GP, the other one says 1 GP, and there's quite a bit of nice ones here. So it's taking place, I think, from the November 22nd to the 3rd. And just to ask, and just to comment with regards to what they're going to be going, both the Mandela GP and the 911 GP plates are owned by a private collector. They're expected to go under the hammer starting from R250,000. 250,000 rands. And they also say that the plate 1 GP could actually fetch 1 million rand, and the collection as a whole will set for at least 2 million rands. They're expecting about 1 million rands as well for the Mandela GP. So yes, quite a bit of money for these number plates, Mandela GP, 91 GP, etc. Interesting.
Interesting, but crazy at the same time.
How will it benefit anybody?
Yeah, how's it going to benefit?
If you got a 1 GP, will it make a difference in your life? Will it make your car move? Yeah, if it makes your car move better and give you a hassle-free car, then I think it will worth your while. But I think to spend R250,000 in an hour plate or 1 million then,
you personalize it, brother. Put your name on it.
Put your wife's name on it.
Also, they have this, to be on that note, they have the same auction in Dubai.
Yeah.
And 1 million then is small change.
Small change.
What they go for. Yeah, yeah. Dubai, one number plate, and it goes into the. It goes into the. The last time I heard it, like over 100 million or somewhere like it. You know, it's like crazy the prices and how they auction the number plates.
Yeah. In fact, I read the article also. What mentioned was made there is that the world record for a number plate was set in 1994 in Hong Kong for the sale of the number plate 8. 8. Right? Number 8 for $1 million. $1 million. Imagine. Unbelievable.
People got money to play with.
Yeah. Anyway, inshallah, somebody wants information regarding this, you know, this fixer tires, the bottles, the tubes you buy, the, you know, from the shops. How does it work, Adil, if somebody gets a puncture?
Shimozab, it's a very handy thing to have. You get, there's two types you can get. There's one you spray into the tire before you put the tire to the car.
Okay.
And that puts a sealant around the tire, so all minor punches like nail punches and things like it prevents the air from leaking out from the tire. The only downfall, okay, which I heard, I never experienced it myself. He said when you actually put that into the tire, it causes a rim, a wall around the tire, and it could affect the balancing of the tire. But I never actually experienced it. It's mostly common amongst the you know, bicycle riders who normally go mountain biking and actually put that in to prevent punches. The other one is when you get a puncture and you use it as a inflator to inflate your tire once your tire is flat. But that will only work if there is no gash in the tire. Like, you know, if you hit a real big hole in the tire where a tire is slashed or something like it, then you're totally destroyed. So these two items will only work for slight minor punches. Like if you really hit a pothole and you slash the tire, there's nothing can help you. You'll have to replace the tire.
Mm. I think we find that AA some time ago warned the motorists that many new cars, Abdulhaq, you can comment on this one as well, that many new cars no longer have the spare tires. And what they also said that the decision to eliminate the spare tire could leave more than approximately 20 million drivers stranded because they have no spare to replace a flat tire. So the ones they normally put in, whatever they put in, some seed and kits, Adil, I mean, how does it work and how long does it last? Will it take you at least about 100 kilos?
Yeah, they call it the run flat technology, which where the tire, if it is flat, the car can actually run on the rubber and on the rim itself to get you to your destination. But there's no foolproof. I've spoken to some people who actually experienced the run flat scenario, where they actually get a flat, and there's no way they can go because the tire is so badly damaged and the rim also so badly damaged. They left stranded, like it's 100% correct. I think the amount will get to much more than that. So basically, a space saver, that's what it's there for. So you don't have to, you have a spare tire in the boot where you can actually score some more space, leave you stranded on the road. I'd rather put the spare tire in and sacrifice the space and don't be standing on the road. So I think that sense doesn't make sense to me.
Well, just via the grapevine, it seems to be that the manufacturers are now coming back to spare wheels. They actually have come up with some sort of this thing that there is a problem as far as the run flats are concerned. They may be saving on space, but people are now buying. They are buying actually a spare tire and leaving it, a spare wheel and leaving it in the boot. It's just via the grapevine there was some sort of talk about it, but I don't know how true and how far ahead that is.
All right, Jazakumullah. Somebody wants to know regarding the Audi A3s. Are there some new things on the market under the Audi A3? Has it arrived in the country? Is it about to be launched in South Africa?
To be honest with you, I haven't read anything about the Audi, but there are a lot of new vehicles going to be launched towards the beginning of the first quarter of next year. Probably the Audi is one of them. Inshallah, in this week, we'll get some more information and come back to you on that from us.
Jazakumullah. The brother wants to buy a Golf 7. We know that it has been in South Africa for the last 3 or 4 years. A consistent performer, lovely car it is. Somebody wants your guys mashwara regarding a Golf 7. Doesn't say what they want for it, but he wants to buy a Golf 7. Good buy or not, Adil?
Mazhar, Golf has been proven from the 1980s, from 1984 when the first Golf was launched. Till now, you're already, this is the Mark 1, now you're already on the Mark 7. So you can see a nice family car. Not for big families, maybe a small size family or medium size family. Nice car to drive, I own one myself, really enjoyed it. The technology has really improved. The performance is there, the fuel consumption is there, the comfort is there, the handling is there. So I don't think it will be a bad buy. It's a proven car. I mean, anybody who drove a Golf wouldn't fault the car in any way. A decent car to have.
Lovely car. Jazakumullah. SMS coming through, citizens. Any other questions we have, inshallah, send us your questions on the number. The SMS number is 082-580-8070. Sorry, not 072. What did I say? 082. Anyway, 082. We're all in the weekend mood, brothers. 082-580-8070. That is the SMS number. Alternate SMS number is 48855. And if you want to come live on the program, the number to call 011-854-1548. Abdulhaq, question coming from my brother. The brother says he's got a Toyota Corolla and he wants to start a diagnosis. He says, where do you begin your diagnosis if you have an engine that cranks but won't start?
Oh, mashallah. Engine that cranks it won't start. Alright, obviously, the two basic, very, very basic things. If the engine is cranking, obviously the first thing is you check if the vehicle has spark.
Yeah.
So in other words, you know, you can, there is a very simple way on the Toyota Corollas, depending which one it is. Obviously, the older ones are easy. All you got to do is have an additional spark plug, pull off the plug wire, plug in the spark plug in there, and, you know, get someone to crank it while it's laying on the engine with the earth on it, you'll get a spark. If there's no spark, obviously, you know, there's an electrical fault on the vehicle. With the Toyota Corollas, 9 out of 10 times I found that the coil in the distributor itself was the culprit. So yeah, there are a few places that actually do test your coils for you, things like that. But normally if you remove the coil from the coil pack from within the distributor itself, you will find it either has a crack or it has some sort of burnt mark or a foul smell on it. That would determine or actually give you an idea that the coil is faulty. Yes, those coils are replaceable. You do get them at the space shops. That is the as far as spark is concerned. When it's coming back to the fuel now, obviously, you know, you've got to get your pipe that's coming in to the or your main fuel supply to the either it's a carburetor or the fuel injection system, and as you crank up the motor, you will see whether you are getting petrol or not coming into the. If you're not getting petrol, obviously you try and listen for the pump. When you turn the ignition and crank the vehicle, your pump should be running. The other thing is, unfortunately there is a bit of an issue as far as the pump is concerned, where it's situated, but what we normally would do is put some sort of direct power on it and see if the pump is pumping. If it is pumping, then obviously you have an electrical fault as far, or you know, your relay or something could be not supplying power to the pump, and that's why the pump is not supplying the fuel. Or it could be the pump itself is faulty. And yes, if it does pump fuel, you know, you got to make sure you got to get a pressure gauge, fuel pressure gauge, and make sure that the fuel pressure is correct on the pump. Because if you don't have enough pressure on the pump, obviously you're not going to get enough fuel coming into the vehicle. And yes, you could have you know, starting problems.
Lovely. The brother wants some Shura. He wants some advice regarding the Dodge. He wants to buy a Dodge. Adil,
I think probably he's looking at a Dodge Journey, because that's the most common one you can buy. The other ones, that is the most common to buy. I mean, I think that's the most people like the Journey. A good vehicle, Mossad, not a bad vehicle.
Yeah.
To buy, it's a 7-seater. If there's a Journey, I'm thinking what he's talking about.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know any other one that's very common around there. The car is a decent car, a decent vehicle to buy. 7-seaters, good fuel economy. Only downfall on the car is the parts. You know, parts can be relatively expensive to maintain the car, but not all around the service parts. It's more the replacement parts, like your brakes and brake discs and shocks and things like that. But normal services is not so bad.
How available are the parts are on those vehicles?
The parts are available, but the only thing, there isn't much aftermarket parts available in our country because they're not very popular, those cars. And then from the agent, from the manufacturer, they are available. Like I said, the prices are but on the steep side.
Yeah, but the other day someone made a joke and
they
said to me, with Trump there now,
you'll
get more parts.
Probably, yeah, because he wants to manufacture everything in his own country, so I don't think he's going to import to Africa because he doesn't like Africa very much.
All right, so I've got a question coming through. It says, with regards to a Ford Focus, it says, what could be the cause? My Ford Focus and idles rough when cold or hot. What could be the problems, brothers?
When cold or hot?
Yeah.
It sounds very much, you know, that vehicle has got, the Ford Focus has got an idle solenoid on it. You know, it could be an idle solenoid, but then again, maybe a misfire. You probably have a vacuum leak on the system somewhere. You know, losing sparks, you know, somewhere on your electrical side. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of anything more than that.
See, Mossab, on a modern day car, the best thing to do is take it to your technician, let him plug the diagnostic tool in, and let him do a test on the on the fuel injection systems, which could eliminate a lot of faults, or could even point you out to the fault. That's how easy it has become today, Mossab. You know, you get guided to a guided test on how to repair a car today, you know. So basically today a car is just a plug-and-play system, so you basically plug in your diagnostic tool. I tell my guys in the workshop, you know, without the diagnostic tool, there's nothing we can do. Before, in the olden days, if a man got stuck on the side of the road, like we were talking earlier, you could actually aid the man, you know, you could repair the man, he could be on his way again.
Yeah.
Today you just got to call the AA truck and they must load the car and pull it to the workshop, because there's basically nothing you can do, because everything is so technologically involved. You need to be a rocket scientist to go and see what's wrong with the car. You need to put your white dust coat on and plug in your dice test too. So basically the brother should just do a diagnostic test, and it could lead him to his problem. And you know, it's so advanced that the diagnostic equipment today, that you can actually fix the car by reading it on a computer. It will tell you exactly what's wrong with the car.
Right. I just needed an opinion from Adil.
Yeah.
You know, I had someone the other day give me a call and says to me, "Bhai, you know, I've got a problem with the vehicle, and I believe the diagnostic tool gives you everything that's wrong with the car, be it electronic or mechanical or whatever." And I found it hard to believe, but maybe I'm a little behind. So I don't know, what's your take on, I mean, look, certain mechanical failures might show up on an electronic. For example, if you look at your C-Class Benzes, where it tells you, you know, you've got a continuous timing adjustment or something like that, camshaft adjustment or something like that. And from experience, you know that maybe the gears and the chain is worn. But any other thing that you feel that maybe the electronic, you know, or a diagnostic tool can assist you with mechanical failures?
Yeah, mechanical failure can play an important role on the electronics of the car, because if you look at it, basically all the sensors work together in conjunction, like how you said about the continuous camshaft adjustment, because you have the cam actuators, and they're electronically controlled. So if your timing chain or your gear is worn out, the cam actuator is going to pick up a wrong reading, and it's going to give you an error code. So basically, then that way there you're picking up electronically and mechanically.
Yeah, but the thing is, would you say it's a myth or is it genuine that, you know?
No, it is genuine. Some aspects of the engine, yes.
Some aspects, like, for example, all aspects.
A coolant thermostat is mechanically controlled.
Yeah.
Open and close mechanically. The diagnostic tool can tell you whether that coolant temperature thermostat is opening too late or closing too close soon.
Yeah.
Because you have a temperature sensor regulating the temperature of the engine. So basically the engine is running, for example, at 80 degrees and a sensor has to open at 90 degrees and it's not really picking up, it's going to tell you something's wrong in the cooling system.
Yeah.
Check your thermostat.
Okay. And with regards to diagnosing the problem of the car, you know, will I be correct in saying that, you know, regarding the make of the car, you need a different diagnostic machine for every type of car?
Jim, also, that is a good question that is very affirmative in today's day and time. You see, you have a diagnostic tool, and then you have a code reader and a scan tool.
Yeah.
So basically, on all modern day vehicles, they have the same components in their engines. So basically, for your engine to run, every manufacturer, basically the engine is designed around the same principle. It's just that different manufacturers call different parts different things. Like, for example, we talk about the airflow meter.
Yeah.
One manufacturer will call it the airflow meter. Mercedes-Benz will call it the hot film mesh sensor. Another manufacturer will call it the MS sensor. So basically, you just have different names for different components. But a scan reader is, you can buy a basic scan reader, it will work on every car. It will just lead you to the full code. So basically, if engine light comes on, you plug in your scan reader, it will work on any car. You just select the model and the year and the type of car it is, for example, a Mercedes, a C-Class, a C180, diesel or petrol, and you plug in your scan reader and it will tell you error code, camshaft solenoid, and it will give you the code P2010. And then you buy a code book and you just go to P210 and say, oh, this is a fault here. And it'll give you a brief description of how to repair it.
Okay.
So basically it's a good idea, like especially for motor cars, it's like for yourself, Monsal.
So if I want to start mechanics on Monday, Abdul Haq, can I buy that machine tonight, buy a book tomorrow and start my own mechanics Monday?
If you have a fair knowledge of cars, you can make some money, Monsal.
Yeah.
You can guide people to where the car is.
That's important. That's important. Is the fair knowledge is to be able to recognize components. All right, but like Adil says, you know what the scan tool? With the scan tool, you can actually even, it will give you a location of the part as well.
Yeah.
In fact, the scan tool I've got has got a picture where it'll tell you where to plug in the scan tool and everything else as well. So, look, the important thing is you can buy the machine, you can buy a book. But are you going to be able to recognize the components?
No, not at all. You need experience.
This is where the actual issue comes in. Just, you know, like a lot of the car dealers, that buy these.
I gotta first learn how to change light bulbs, Haril, before I do anything.
No, you know what, Murad? You're talking about light bulbs, but we'll get to that light bulb story now. I find a lot of motor car dealers, you know, the private dealers that are buying vehicles in auctions and things like that. They buy the tools simply to reset the computers and set the lights off and reset service lights and things like that. Coming back to the bulbs, Marana, you know, sometimes for us it's a battle to change some of the bulbs in these vehicles. I mean, you look at the newer Audis, you've got to remove the bulb, I mean, you've got to remove the bumper, the whole headlight, everything just to fit the bulb in. And I can vouch for the fact, it costs you labor roughly at Audi about 2,000 Rand to replace the bulb. So, it's no more, you know, they're trying to do away with the man on the street, the do-it-yourself guy or the backyard mechanic or things like that. They're trying to do away so they can keep their business for within themselves. And obviously with the newer technology and things like that, make the vehicle lighter and all these things that add up to it. But unfortunately, you know, for example, if you look at your Hondas initially, you really needed a small hand to be able to fit your hand in places where you'd have to work. And we actually laughed at the guys who had big hands because they had a battle to get into certain places, and that is what it is getting to. So yeah, to be able to do a job yourself, yes, anybody can become a mechanic, but obviously you need some sort of training, some sort of knowledge, and obviously you know, don't be overconfident.
A little on the lighter side, like I said, I got to learn how to change light bulbs first. You know, the other day I was trying to change my lamp side, you know, the plug wasn't right. So I thought, today let me be clever and sort it out. So I'm thinking now, I took the plug out, I'm thinking, now what is it? Is blue live? Is yellow, where does yellow go to? So I said, you know what, let me just rather not...
I'll stick to the same.
Let me just stick to what I know.
But you can buy those plugs with wires on them now.
Jesus.
At the space shops, and all you got to do is just make sure you connect them.
I'll stick to fishing and hunting, brothers. See, let's go to line number four. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ji.
Assalamualaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, and you, my
brother? Alhamdulillah, my brother.
I want some nasihat on a 2005 Kia Rio. Please.
Okay. Just hold the line. Adil?
So most of the Kia Rio, nice car, value for money, a lot of extras. What's your model is the car?
2005.
Gee, if you're getting it at a good price, it's a worthwhile buy. But I'm saying the only downfall on these Kias and Hyundais is the part replacements. It's a bit on the costly side. Like the service side of the parts is not a problem. Like, you know, your normal oil changes and spark plugs and air filters is not so bad. But when it comes to brakes and shocks and body replacement parts and tensioners and belts and all, it can be a bit on the expensive side.
It's on 155, Adi.
Yeah, the mileage is a bit high. So basically, depending on the price, there. Yunus bhai?
Ji.
See, Yunus bhai, yeah, it's depending on the price, Yunus bhai.
He wants 155.
He wants 155?
No, wait, not one.
So maybe that's the price of his house.
Yeah.
155 is a case.
Yeah. If he wants under 40,000, then what's worth?
He wants 59.
Yeah. 59, no, 59 is too much.
It's too much.
No, I think about 40 is reasonable.
Yeah.
It's a 2007.
2007?
Yes.
I see the mileage is against the car.
Okay.
The mileage is too high.
As I spoke to you that night, you told me.
Yeah.
So I said, maybe you thought of it then.
Yeah, you see, I did. The only thing is, you know, that, like I told you, if he wants to, if he can bring the car, I can have a look for you, I can tell you exactly if it's going to be worth that kind of money. You see, you don't want to go spend 59,000 on a car now and keep on spending on a car for other things that are going to go wrong. Because 155,000 on a Korean car, it's basically, it's come to a stage where you are going to pick up some issues. It's not going to be hassle-free or motor-free.
Okay, nearing the end of its life?
No, nearing the end of its life, there are going to be some issues. Like, okay. You're going to have to start changing things like water pumps and sensors and things. Like, they are going to start going wrong because today, a basic modern-day car, when it comes to that kilometers, you can expect problems. Even on a Mercedes, on a BMW, any vehicle.
Up to what kilos is it safe to say, look, it's still okay?
You see, like, under 100,000 is still okay.
Okay.
You see, that's why they sell you a car today, like these Kias and these Hyundais, they come with 150,000 kilometers. In 5 years, they give you the guarantee because they know. Because those cars are built to last for them, you see.
Yeah.
Even the German cars, they give you 100,000, 120,000 motor plane, because they know, they're confident that the car can last with it. Yeah. And you see the scenario is after that the time expires, then the car starts giving you all the problems. Yeah. Then you wonder to yourself, but I never had this issue since I bought the car. Why does all the problems start now? Because that's what they put into the car. You see, that's what the car is designed for.
Yeah,
if a person can come out of the car and say, my car is guaranteed for 200,000 kilometers, then I take my hat off and say, that is a car to buy.
Mm. Rather take the wife for a holiday.
Hyundai is giving them a 7-year 200,000.
Yeah, Abdullah is just telling me now that they've actually increased it to 7,000. What is the 7 years? And what is the kilometers?
200,000.
Hmm. How many car thousand?
200,000.
See, that is the way to go. I mean, for 200,000 in 7 years, you got hassle-free motors, because if you look at the average person, he doesn't do more than 20,000 kilometers a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the car's going to last him 10 years easy.
Yeah, that's why, just double check. It says 200,000, but
there must be
first.
And urban conditions apply. Yeah.
You've got to read the fine print. It's very, very important to read the fine print on these things.
Yes, we'll have to ask our friend at Hyundai, Mark.
Some like motor plane and a maintenance plane, there's two different things, you know. Your motor plane might cover everything, your maintenance plane will only cover your service. So just be wary about these sort of things. I don't know. I sort of differ slightly, but alhamdulillah, Korean cars are not too bad. And I see now there are aftermarket parts that are starting to be available as far as these vehicles are concerned.
But Yunus Bhai, if that 7 years, 200,000 kilometers work in our country, telling you, then I take my hat off for Hyundai motor manufacturer.
I don't know, they advertise Indonesia, Hyundai is advertising.
Because today I can't see anything last for 200,000 kilometers in our country.
Not with our roads.
Not with our roads.
Not especially.
And our driving also.
Not especially if you hit the small town.
I don't know, but it will be a challenge, it will be worthwhile to see the outcome.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue, limited time, it's already 20 to 8. Call us in the number 011-8541548. The SMS numbers 48855 and 082-580-8070. We take a break, inshallah. When we come back, we continue. Stay tuned.
The Revved Up Car Show is sponsored by Hyundai Indonesia. For sales, service, parts and friendly advice, call our dealership 010-591-7100.
Alright, Jazakumullah, we continue. 70 minutes to 8 o'clock, your Chun Trade Islam International, the Revved Up Car program. Give us a call at the number 011-854-1548. The SMS is 082-580-8070 and 48855. Yes, I read some news regarding cars. Last night, in fact, Abdul Haq, the man crashes his $1.9 million Ferrari right after leaving the dealership. Basically, just minutes after leaving the dealership, this guy crashed his brand new $2 million Ferrari. One of the most expensive cars in the world. Gee. Anyway.
He should have rather taken lessons before he even bought the car to sell the car.
Brothers, any specific way to clean one's exhaust? Question coming through. Today's materials, manifolds, your headers, your pipes, your tips, all comes in different materials and finishes. So what's the best formula? How does one clean the exhaust?
The best formula to clean exhaust, use the correct fuel in your vehicle, service the car regularly, because there's no way physically you can clean the exhaust but to have the car regularly maintained, using the correct oils, using the correct spark plugs, and filling the correct fuel into your vehicle.
So please don't push the hose pipe in there.
There's no way you can clean an exhaust. The exhaust will be cleaned by itself on how the car is driven and how the car is maintained.
I mean, somebody asked me a question in the dam last weekend. In fact, when you reverse your bucket in the water, when you put in the boat off, your exhaust is in the water for quite some time, sometimes 7-8 minutes, sometimes the bunk is idling and water is coming through your exhaust. Is this harmful?
When your bucky is in the water, it's blowing the water. It's not sucking the water.
As long as
the water doesn't go through the exhaust into the center box, then you're going to have a problem. But like that, nothing will happen. It's fine.
But what happens if you say, for instance, you're in the water and you switch your bucky off?
you switch the bucky off.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, because then water going to
pedal. Water's going to go into your center box, and obviously on startup or something.
Eventually,
it will pull the water in. And the other thing is, obviously, your exhaust is going to corrode so much more quicker.
Okay, because
the other thing is also very interesting question comes in. For example, if you have a slight sort of valve that is leaking or something, intermittently you find that you have a suction on your exhaust, and with a little bit of a prolonged submersion of the exhaust in the water, you're going to suck in a little bit of water every time that misfire occurs. So that also, you know, obviously your car's going to be in peak performance. I mean, I sort of use the Honda regularly on the dam with the water. What I found that I just keep it on a slight rev, so I feel a little more comfortable. Even though it's blowing, I feel a little more comfortable on a slight rev, hoping the vehicle will switch off or something like that.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot.
Other question says, Assalamu alaikum. What is the problem when the SRS airbag light is on with the Mercedes C230W202?
When the SRS light is on, it's a self-restraint system, which is a safety aspect on that vehicle. That means that the airbags won't deploy, or it won't fully deploy or half deploy. That system should be checked. Allah prevent, Allah forbid, if anything has to happen in an accident, then you won't have that extra safety feature on the vehicle. Mercedes-Benz is the company that introduced that safety aspect to the motor industry where airbags and safety is concerned, one of the leaders in technology for safety and comfort in motor vehicles. So that thing should be checked once, if they want it to be fixed, and it's always better to check it. And the other downfall really is very expensive to fix the SRS light, because it's the safety
mentioned
feature, and it can be costly once. But maybe you could just check on the W202s. Most of the time there's a plug under the seat, that plug comes off and it puts the light on. So you should just check, take a peep under the seat, it's a little red plug.
Yeah.
If you just take a peep under the seat and see the plug is unplugged, normally especially when they clean the cars, they put the vacuum cleaner there and they push the seat forward and back and it pulls that plug out. So that's a normal, common, I'm not saying that is a problem, but worth to look at it and see
if the plug is on. Worth a peep.
Alright. Question coming through, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Opel Astra hatchback 1.4 2006 model. The car is not idling. Already changed the intake manifold. Please give me some suggestions on what to do. Mileage is 200,000. The car has no power also.
2006?
Yeah.
Opel Astra hatchback.
1.4 hatch.
1.4 fuel injection.
Not idling at all?
No.
It's the same engine like the Corsa.
I'm just trying to pick up which engine.
Opel Astra 1.4.
You had an Eco on that as well. Yeah. You had an Eco on that as well. So more than likely, I would have thought on the Astra, you pick up the 1.4, the Eco engine. Normally I just put a diagnostic on that thing and you find something there. Because I've never really picked up any problems as far as the vacuum system is concerned. And I'm just curious, why did they replace the inlet manifold gasket in the first place? Did they check it out? Is that why it wasn't idling the first time? If so, then the possibility exists. Maybe the gasket is still incorrect or something like that. I don't know. I wouldn't say stumped, but the car is not here.
So most of you see, to do a diagnostic test on the car, it's very important you get the history of where the car has been, where the vehicle has been.
Yeah.
99% of the time, your problem is solved. If you can just ask the customer a few questions on where the vehicle was, what did they do last to the car, where was the car. So, for example, on this Opel Astra, if the customer can have a history on when the problem started, how did the problem start.
And why did they replace the gasket?
Most of the time, your problems are solved by answering questions. So basically, for example, on this car, if what was done last on the car, was a cam bell done, was a service done, was a spark plug changed. So things like that can eliminate a lot of problems as to why the car is not idling. And the other thing is, like Hafiz Abdullah said, is to do a diagnostic test that can lead you to the problem.
Yeah.
But I think by them changing the inlet manifold, they probably tried a few things and couldn't come back.
Yeah.
They only mentioned one thing, like the inlet manifold. The basic thing should be checked. the basic checks should be checked before you start.
100%.
The costly repairs like an inner manifold, it's not cheap.
And like you say, brother, changing of the cam belts. You know, if you could be out by one tooth also. Nowadays, you notice on the vehicles, especially these modern vehicles, one tooth, two teeth. That car is not performing, it's not idling. I mean, you're going to pick up a lot of hassles with those sort of things. So like you said, you know, answering those questions.
And another important thing is, you see, with customers, it's very tricky to get cars right. You see, for example, the customer takes the car to Hafiz Abdullah to sort out the idling problem.
Mm-hmm.
Hafiz Abdullah tries a whole lot of things and he's not successful. Then the same customer comes to me and says, I have an idling problem. And then I go do the same thing on Hafiz Abdullah repeated. You understand?
Yeah.
So if the customer can just be honest and say, you know what, I have taken a car to Hafiz Abdullah, this is what he tried, this is what he charged before, then you look back and say, okay, he tried all these things, we don't waste our time trying it.
Yeah.
So basically you work together, you see, instead of saying that, you know, bringing this man down or this whatever it is, you work together and be honest and say, this is what I've done to the car, this is where the car was. I have a habit. I always ask the customer, did anyone try to fix this problem? And he tells me yes, and I tell him, who's the person?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to mention his name, just tell me what he done. Do you have an invoice?
Yeah.
And I promise you, 99% of the times, you save him so much money because you don't go repeat the work.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And alhamdulillah, with that questions and answers, you'll even repair the car for him.
Yeah.
Because you've eliminated so many unnecessary things.
Very true.
So in that way, that I appeal to the listeners that if you have a problem, and a problem that's persisting, give your technician a chance.
Mm.
Give him a chance. Sometimes it's not easy to repair a car. Like Hafiz Abdullah always says, you get 100 people to build a car.
Yeah.
You get 10 engineers and electronic engineers and designers and to build a motor vehicle. And you can't expect one mechanic to fix the car in 1 hour. It's not possible. So give the mechanic a chance, especially if it's an intermittent problem. It's not easy to fix an intermittent problem. You know, the customers think, no, bye, I bought my car to you. When can it be ready?
Yeah.
But, uncle, you have a problem. It's not there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big problem.
You go to the doctor will tell you. You tell the doctor, I got a headache. It's coming from the back of my head, or it's from the front of my head. The car not telling you nothing.
Yeah, but you've
got to go look for a problem.
Like I always tell my doctor friends, you know, I say, you guys, when you got a problem with a patient, you bury your problem. We can't bury our problem.
See. All right, so the brother's asking a question here, Adil, regarding this windshield. You know, to clean the windshield or clean windshield can be very important in terms of, you know, your safety, especially, you know, in the last couple of days, quite a bit of rain as well. So the brother wants to know, in this bottles, you know, the small bottles you get in the car, where you, the wiper, G. So can you put some, for example, sunlight liquid or something?
Sunlight liquid is the best, Mosul.
Will it work?
I'm telling you. You don't go spend hundreds of rands and all this fancy, additive. You pay 10, 15 rand for one small tube.
Yeah.
Just take a teaspoon of sunlight liquid, throw it into your bottle,
The other option I know.
Your job is done.
Prefer.
It doesn't cost you anything. And sunlight liquid. What is the slogan of sunlight liquid? I don't know. They got some slogan.
Whatever.
Yeah, but you know, I also, keep your
what I also prefer quite a bit is to put in a couple of teaspoons of methylated spirits in there. And that works brilliantly.
But you see, the only thing with a methylated spirit is that it stinks, man. You know, when you spray that windscreen and you get a headache and you even get
like
a goof because you know that smell.
You get goof for free, man. Why must you pay to get goof?
An option is only sunlight.
The best option is sunlight. Sunlight is proven, man. You can ask all the upper that don't wash in the dishes; they don't have an issue because the dishes are sparkling clean. So the same way the uncles will have this window sparkling.
It's like you know, one uncle says to me, "You must wash your car with Stay Soft so the dust doesn't stick to it." But then in the end, what happened? He washed the clear lacquer off his car.
Oh.
So you don't just take any detergent. But then obviously you clean your windscreen with the sunlight liquid, but it's not advisable to wash the vehicle with the sunlight liquid.
Definitely.
No, it's good for glass. I mean, you're going to wash.
It's for the glass, yeah.
Okay. Let's take our final question. It's a 2006 BMW. It doesn't say what type of BMW. What does it take to repair or replace the radiator? The brother wants to know the cost of the replacement of this radiator.
Most of on a BMW or for any motor vehicle for that matter, the replacement cost of a radiator directly from the manufacturer is crazy. There are so many aftermarket radiators out there will give you the same warranty as the dealership. So I suggest do some homework and go out there. There are reputable companies supplying radiators. There are importers importing radiators from all over the world. And you can really get a good deal. For example, I know in a Mercedes, radiators cost about 8,000-9,000 rand, and you pick them up for 2,500-3,000 rand,
yeah,
and it does exactly the same job. So my appeal to the brother is, even all listeners out there, you know, before you go get into a costly repair on your vehicle, and today repairing a vehicle is not cheap, you know, to do a normal service on a luxury German car is going into the thousands, sometimes even tens of thousands. Always do your homework. Go to a reputable person who sells reputable parts. Don't go and buy any part of the shelf. You know, you don't want to go be pound penny wise and pound foolish at the end of the day. Do your homework and get, like we say, make mashwara. Ask your advice. Get a second opinion. Very important. Just don't trust anybody. You know, even if you take him to your regular mechanic. I had a customer this week. I told him the timing chain and gears were gone. He told me, "Buy, I'm taking my car, I need a second opinion." I told him, "Please, Anton, get a second opinion, 100%, because you're spending a lot of money. Money doesn't follow the tree today."
You won't believe it, Ariel. I did that last week.
Yeah.
I said to a client, I said, "Go and take a second opinion." Just kind of quickly, very quickly, I'm back to those radiators. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of people get fooled into the fact that these radiators can be repaired.
Especially with aluminium core.
The aluminium core with the plastic tank. You know, I wouldn't trust something.
The olden days, with a copper core, you could repair.
Yes, that's what you know. I was going to bring that to the notice of the listeners, is that don't just believe anybody that radiator can be repaired, because they might just do some sort of patch job here or there, and you're going to end up with a major problem. Unfortunately, with the way things go now, they are sort of disposable, and you've got to replace the radiator, and it's advisable to replace the radiator.
That's what we're there for, Moshe. Sorry, before we go, that's what we are here for. I mean, if during the week, if you took your car in for a repair anyway, and you got a heavy bill, call us and tell us, you know, I took my car here, and this is what they charged us, and this is what they've done. We'll tell you 100% that this is the correctly they charged you, or this is correct what they've done. It's advice. I mean, today, we can't just throw away money.
No, definitely.
And think that, you know, they're not faulty. I mean, sometimes you go to the dealership, they replace everything. And I guarantee you, bring me all the old parts, I'll tell you, this wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
We don't know. People are gullible. They just think, you know, they want to get stuck. They need to replace it.
Yeah.
But some things really are not necessary to replace.
Jeez.
So in that way, there we are here for.
So that's everybody's out to make a quick buck, Adela.
That's it, Moshe. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's sad. Anyway, brothers, JazakAllah for the lovely program. We learned a great deal. Abul Haq, JazakAllah, my brother. And Adil Mia, much appreciated, brothers. Safe trip back home, inshallah, brother. Adil, good fishing over the weekend. inshallah, we talk again. Dear listeners, have a lovely weekend. From Sayyid Muhammad Karan and the team, have a lovely weekend. Fi amanillah. Request for du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.